Did you know that Jesus was Jewish? You might be asking, what does that mean for your Christian faith?
Watch today and discover how understanding the Jewish roots of your faith and your connection to Israel and the Jewish people
can transform your life and the way you read the Bible. Coming up on Jewish Voice. Shalom and welcome to Jewish Voice. I'm your host, Jonathan Burness, and I'm joined today with our staff evangelist co-host, Rabbi Jack Zimmerman, a good friend. Gosh, Jack, we've known each other for decades, yeah. But I wanted to get him back because he did an amazing program with us on the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. And today we're going to talk about another conflict. You know, believers are diving into Scripture from Daniel to Hosea, Ezekiel, Revelation, looking for end-time Scriptures. But often one war is missing from the discussion, the war against Israel in Psalm 83. Jack, you know, we think of the Psalms, right, as songs of praise, of worship, ascending to the temple, yes. Right, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. I walk by still waters, you know, I'm in the shadow of death. But Psalm 83 is different, and it's very, very intriguing. It talks about a specific war. It's an end-time prophecy. Actually, in Psalms. Lay it out for us.
It's a petition by Asaph, who was the chief musician for King David and Solomon in their time. And you're right, this is a radical departure because most of these Psalms talk about exactly what you mentioned. This is a petition. This is a prayer to God saying, Lord, there are impending enemies coming against Israel. And Lord, they're not just coming against Israel, they're coming against you. And so protect us from this invasion, this coalition of 10 nations who have promised not just to come against Israel and attack, because that's old news, but they have promised to wipe Israel off the face of the earth.
Right. Now, it's so interesting. Of course, end time prophecy, you think of Jeremiah, you think of Daniel, right? You think of Hosea, you think of, of course, the book of Revelation.
Yeah.
But Psalms written by David, these Psalms of praise. But what's happening is he's the Holy Spirit is just, he doesn't know what he's writing necessarily.
Yes.
But he's writing a last days end time prophecy, right, about an alliance that's coming against Israel.
Very much so. And this is unusual because Asaph wrote 12 of the 150 Psalms. He wrote Psalm 50. He also wrote Psalm 73 through 83. This is one of the few that is prophetic. There are some who think, well, you know, he was a musician, etc. You know, he played instruments. He wasn't a prophet. Not true. We're told in 2 Chronicles that Asaph is identified as a Hoseh. Now, Hoseh in the Hebrew means seer, but a seer is a prophet. It's
exactly.
The same thing. The difference is
exactly.
A prophet basically says, I'm going to tell you what I've received from the Word of God. A seer says, not only am I going to do that, but I'm going to reveal the visions that God has given me as well. So, of course, this is a legitimate prophecy still to come, by the way, spoken of in Psalm 83, of these 10 nations that have sworn to cut Israel off and wipe her off the face of the earth.
We have so many requests for teachings on end time prophecy. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, it's not my focus. It's not my expertise. I don't know if we're going to be, if there's a pre-tribulation rapture, post-tribulation, mid-tribulation.
Right.
I have a guest in that talks about pre-tribulation, and I'm convinced the next week, post-tribulation, I'm convinced mid-trib. I just believe in pan-tribulation. It's all going to pan out in the end.
Amen.
But this is very, very intriguing. I want to go through this because Israel things have changed.
In a very, very short amount of time. And we look at these nations in Psalm 83, and there are those who say, wait a minute, we think that this might be happening now. There are actually some who say, wait a minute, this prophecy was fulfilled in 1948 rather, during the War of Independence. So let's take a quick look at Psalm 83, who these 10 nations are or who they were in ancient times, and then we'll get an idea of who they might be today. And the reason that I say might be today is because scholars differ on the order of the countries that are listed. And that makes a big, big difference when we try to look at this in terms of end time prophecy.
Well, take us through it. Take us through it.
You bet.
I'm really interested. This is exciting.
Good. So in Psalm 83, when we look at these list of nations, we're looking at mostly verses 5 through 9, this coalition of 10 nations that would come against Israel, that Asaph is petitioning God to hold off. So we have the tents of Edom, which many identify as Palestinians, and I'm emphasizing that because, yes, we've got Palestinians obviously attacking Israel today, and southern Jordanians. Ishmaelites, who are identified as the Saudis. Moab, identified as Palestinians and also central Jordanians. Hagrites, and here's the key. The Hagrites, in many orders of this chain, are identified as Egyptians. I'm not convinced that they're Egyptians. Many are not convinced that they're Egyptians. Why? Because in 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 10, it says of the Hagrites that the Hagrites lived and they kept their tents east of Gilead. That's not Egypt. That's northern Jordan, so it doesn't match. But also, let's go through the rest of the parties in that list. And as we do, I want you to take note of these other countries and their ancient names. Gebal or Byblos. Hezbollah, that's right now. Ammon, the Palestinians and northern Jordanians, that's right now. Amalek, the Arabs of the Sinai area, which also some others identify as Egypt. Again, not sure if it's going to match, because if you look at the Amalekites, they're actually located biblically in the area of southern Israel, the desert, the Negev, up to the border of Egypt. So it doesn't qualify. Philistia, Hamas of the Gaza Strip. Tyre, Hezbollah, and
southern Lebanon. That one's very intriguing. Specifically Hamas, the Gaza Strip.
Exactly.
Yeah, specifically, that's the area, the Gaza Strip.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Wow.
And Assyria, the Syrians, and northern Iraqis. So that's what we've got today. And really, in answer to the first part of the question of what you were talking about, there was a time, I would venture to say, that I have seen more churches and more Christians take interest in Psalm 83 in the past 14 months than they have in the past 14 years.
Absolutely. October 7th. Made Israel front and center again.
Yes.
Completely. And ever since, sadly, we've been seeing a rise of waves of anti-Semitism, which is so, so sad to see.
Yes.
But Jack, timing. When are we in this?
Okay. So are we seeing the fulfillment of Psalm 83 right now? And where are we going from here? Here's the answer to the first question. I don't think so. And one of the reasons I don't think that we're seeing the fulfillment of Psalm 83 right now has to do with the country of Jordan. If we were seeing this today from the past 14 months, then Jordan would be one of the parties that's attacking Israel. Jordan is not doing that now. I don't see that coming soon either, at least in the very near future. And let me explain why. We have a more than 30-year peace treaty. Granted, it's a cold peace treaty, but it's a peace treaty, and it's still been standing between Jordan and Israel. I don't see that treaty collapsing anytime soon. There are many, many reasons for that, but one, economically, Israel
Huge.
Supplies Jordan with natural gas and with water. And so it's not in Jordan's best interest, and I'm sure that King Abdullah would agree, to say, okay, let's now attack Israel. I think that if Jordan wanted to join in, they would have done so already during the past 15 months, as Hezbollah has done, as the Houthis from Yemen have done, and obviously as Iran has done as well. So I don't see this now. Do I, however, see this in the future? I do, because in the future...
That was my next question, obviously.
I knew exactly
where
you were
going. Telepathy. This is, yeah.
You bet.
Just keep going.
In the future, what do we have? In the future, Isaiah talks about cities of Aroer being attacked, et cetera, et cetera. Where is Aroer? In Jordan. So eventually, this is going to happen in some way, shape, or form or another.
How does that scenario happen? There's been peace for so long. What will turn Jordan? What do you think?
You know, I would have to pull something out of the sky, and it's conjecture, it's speculation. But the only thing that I could think of would be pressure from other Arab nations.
There's no other explanation.
No.
Or something happens where Israel strikes against Jordan somehow. But it's going to happen.
Yes.
But it's not now.
No.
It's not now. This is fascinating, but we need to take a short break. Jack and I will be back in just a moment right after this.
The prophecy and visions written in Psalm 83 are for you. So you can even better appreciate how recent events bring us closer to the last days, we'd like to send you the book, Unlocking the Prophetic Mysteries of Israel, 7 Keys to Understanding Israel's Role in the End Times. To understand how God is fulfilling His Word in our generation, you must understand what He is doing in Israel and all of the Middle East. For a gift of $25 or more, we'll send you Jonathan's groundbreaking book, We'll also include the booklet Supernatural or Just Remarkable that reveals how the Hebrew Scriptures clearly point to Yeshua, Jesus, as the promised Messiah. That's a critical connection, a foundation of faith we all need. Call today, scan the QR code, or mail a one-time gift of just $25 or more, and we'll send you both books. Even better, become a new Shalom partner with a gift of $40 per month or more, and we'll also include this beautiful lion and lamb figurine. Display this work of art in your home or office as a reminder that, as prophesied, Yeshua, Jesus, is both the Lion of Judah and the Lamb of God. As a new Shalom partner, you can be sure that 100% of your investment will directly activate life-saving relief efforts in Israel and around the world. Thank you so much for coming alongside Jewish Voice and our promise to stand with Israel.
Welcome back to our discussion of Psalm 83. Before we go on, I just want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you to our generous partners who make the work of sharing the good news with Yeshua in Jewish communities around the world possible. From all of it, Jewish Voice, I just want to say how grateful we are. And we're your extended hands. We're doing this together. We're blessing the Jewish people with the greatest blessing they can receive, the good news of their Messiah. Now, Jack, diving back into Psalm 83, you said in the last segment that this is not yet the fulfillment of Psalm 83. October 7th was a huge shift. I mean, what happened, the most horrible event since of the Jewish people since the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. It's just horrible. But it was not the fulfillment of Psalm 83. Not yet.
Right.
You said not yet. But where does this fall, do you think, in the timetable of the last days? Because we're getting close. The clock is clearly ticking.
We are. And indeed, if we want to get technical about it, if we look at Hebrews 1, the first two verses, the writer of Hebrews, we don't know who it is. Some people think it's Paul. We're not sure. The author of Hebrews doesn't identify themselves. They refer to those times as these last days. So the question is, of course, where are we on that timeline? Well, you know, immediately after the events of October 7, 2023 occurred, there were so many people, well-meaning folks, passionate folks about end-time prophecy, who were saying, oh my gosh, this is it. This is the Ezekiel War, the War of Gog and Magog. Time out. You've got to look at what the prophecies say about that. There's got to be something that comes before the War of Gog and Magog, before the Ezekiel War, because the Ezekiel War occurs when people are living in peace and safety and there's an attack from the far north. So here's where we are. I believe that what we're looking at is on this timeline, the next significant event to occur will be Psalm 83, particularly verses 5 through 9.
Okay, so we actually have a timeline that we're going to put up now. So let's put that up now.
You bet.
And take us through this. You can see this now. Take us through this.
So basically where we are, and we are getting close to the end of the end.
Gosh, we're close to Psalm 83.
We are, we are. And that is the next event that I see coming. And then following Psalm 83, what do we have? We have all of these countries coming against Israel. Obviously, God eliminates all of them, or possibly through the Abraham Accords, has them turn away from their wickedness and becomes friends with Israel, which we saw President Trump do in his first term.
Which he'll do again.
So I believe he will.
He will
try. So
there'll
be a continuation of that. But then what do you have after that? Then you have everybody in Israel saying, wow, our enemies are gone. They've either been eliminated or they are with us. We're living in a time of peace and safety. Boom. Ezekiel War follows.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, many are so happy to have Trump back in because we want the Abraham Accords. We want peace.
Yes.
But that is a prelude, right, to war.
It is.
You have to, I mean, if you're open-minded in reading the scriptures, you can't avoid it.
Right, which begs the following question, being that is the Ezekiel War a prelude to something else? And it goes back to what you were saying, is it pre, mid, or post? And I'm right there with you. It's all going to pan out anyway.
Yeah.
Besides, if I were, or you were, or any of us were to take one particular position, we'd have the other two positions coming down on us. And so I believe the important thing is that in this listing and this series of events, let's look forward to it, and let's understand that this is all about God's end-time prophetic plan of salvation. And therefore, after these events occur, Let's bring as many people with us, a bountiful harvest, to come so that they may receive Yeshua
Amen.
When he comes back.
Well, that's our response, really. Our response is the gospel. Our response is proclamation. Just simply put, God's peace plan for the Middle East and the world is the Prince of Peace.
Yes.
And it's amazing when I go to Israel and I see Israelis and Palestinians worshiping together, yes. hugging each other, really friends, really caring about each other because they've both been born from above.
Amen.
And they become truly brothers and sisters in Messiah and Christ.
And isn't it great that when you look, for example, in Isaiah, that it talks about one day in Egypt, for example, there will be five cities in Egypt setting up altars to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and speaking Hebrew.
Yeah, amazing.
Isn't that great?
Amazing. Let me go back to, I want to go back to the terminal point.
Yep.
Of Psalm 83. It hasn't happened yet. Mm-hmm. October 7th, some say it was. October 7th was the direct fulfillment or the beginning of the fulfillment of Psalm 83. You're saying not yet.
Right.
What's the one event we should look for that would identify this is indeed Psalm 83?
Sure. I think the one event that we should look at is, let's take a look at these nations who are coming against Israel. And is Egypt part of it? I think Egypt is the key here. Because
yeah.
again, I'm not fully in agreement that Egypt is one of the nations participating in Psalm 83. But if Egypt were to come into this, then I think that changes the equation.
That is extremely serious because there's been peace since Sadat boldly came to Israel. And sometimes it's been warm, sometimes it's been cold. But it's been peaceful.
That's right.
And there was a time when a lot of Israelis were going to Egypt. That's since ended. Mm-hmm. But if Egypt turns, that's a key. What about Jordan, though? Jordan is a real concern also.
Sure. And again, will the peace agreement that Jordan and Israel have hold up? It's been 30 plus years. And will it continue to hold up in the future?
So really, those two nations, Jordan and Egypt,
yes.
if they turn on Israel, we are in Psalm 83.
Exactly.
And I pray it doesn't happen anytime soon.
Yes.
But we need to keep watching, and we need to be aware of the season. We need to be on top of this spiritually. And our job is to pray and proclaim. Just talk about birth pangs. This is a really big one that Jesus gives us revelation to. The last days are connected with birth pains. A lot's going on that's been repeating through history, but he says this is like birth pains concerning
yeah.
the last days in Matthew 24.
You bet, and this is right out of the Olivet Discourse, where he talks about wars, rumors of wars, famines, pestilences, etc., etc. He says, but these are only the beginnings of birth pains. The best way that I can allude to birth pains, actually, if you want to go back to the beginning, is Genesis 37, when Joseph is out in the fields with his brothers, and he basically says, hey, listen, guys, I had this dream. You're going to love it. Sheaves of grain, representing you, of course, and they were all bowing down to me. What do you think? And they basically said,
they love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Thanks a lot. You know, no, we don't want to hear you. He said, wait a minute. I got a better one. The sun, the moon, and the stars, by the way, 11, because Joseph's 11 brothers, were bowing down to me too. Aren't you really excited about that? And they're like, no, Joseph, you're an idiot. Stop talking. And what we have is that takes us right to the fulfillment of this idea of birth pains in Revelation chapter 12.
Okay, unpack that for us, because I'm trying to make the connection with Joseph's revelation.
You bet.
The brothers are really angry, and we know the stories, shipped off, thrown in a pit, but
yes,
yeah. But he's going to redeem his brothers.
Indeed,
it's a picture of Yeshua, by the way. It's amazing.
It is, yeah. And Joseph's revelation, I guess pun intended here, is revealed to us in the book of Revelation. Revelation 12, 1 and 2, because we've got the sun, the moon, and the stars. Look at what the verse says. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, on her head, a crown of 12 stars. She's pregnant. Doing what? She's crying out in birth pains and agony to give birth. So you've got the reference back there to Genesis 37. Essentially what you've got is, okay, this is Rachel, this is Jacob, these are the 12 tribes. This is the birth of a child who will represent Israel. That, of course, is Yeshua. What happens after that? Revelation 12, 5 and 6. She gives birth to a son, male child, rules the nations with an iron rod. fulfillment of the Psalms, and her child was snatched away to God in the throne. Woman flees into the wilderness. She has a place prepared by God so they might take care of her. 1,260 days. Here's Petra. But what happens after that? The dragon comes not only for the mother, but also for the child. He's unsuccessful. And then what do we have? The battle of Armageddon and the dragon, the false beast, the false prophet destroyed.
Wow. You mentioned Petra. I don't know if people understand that, but it's an enclave in
Jordan,
which I've been to several times.
Yeah.
It's really amazing, isn't it? It's a Nabataean stronghold, right? Where some believe there's food already stored there, and Israelis will flee there for safety.
Yes, and you know what's just as amazing? Think of this, because this gets back to the Psalm 83 timeline. Psalm 83. Among the parties who are threatening Israel is Jordan. And isn't it more than just a coincidence? It's actually almost a paradox that in the end, so many of our people will flee to Jordan, the nation that once threatened to attack us in Psalm 83.
Wow. It's really overwhelming, but it's in the scriptures.
It's right there.
Yeah, it's clear. So wars seems to be peace. So do you think there'll be a renewed peace before it gets better before it gets worse? Do you see that happening?
You know, it's a great question. I hesitate on saying that things are going to get better, only because the scriptures tell us. And what does Paul tell Timothy? He says, look, in the last days, people will be falling away from the faith. They'll be lovers of money. They'll be lovers of themselves, et cetera, et cetera. They will not endure sound doctrine. Neighbor will go against neighbor. So there will be conflict. If that's what we have that's coming up, I don't see many times of peace in the future because the scriptures say otherwise.
Yeah. We just need to be ready. And keep in mind, we are citizens of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Oh, what do we do as things get worse and the world gets shaken? We stand firm in our faith. Jack, it's so great to explore this. You at home can see that Israel is right in the middle of leading up to the last days. They're the center point. Even in the Psalms, Jewish Voice stands with Israel to share the gospel with everyone in the land, Jew and Arab alike, because Jesus, Yeshua, is the Messiah and Savior for all. I want to ask you to partner with us today and help us to reach out in Israel, both to Jew and Arab alike. Please listen and prayerfully consider to give. Jack and I will be back to pray for you and your family next.
The prophecy and visions written in Psalm 83 are for you. So you can even better appreciate how recent events bring us closer to the last days, we'd like to send you the book, Unlocking the Prophetic Mysteries of Israel, 7 Keys to Understanding Israel's Role in the End Times. To understand how God is fulfilling His Word in our generation, you must understand what He is doing in Israel and all of the Middle East. For a gift of $25 or more, we'll send you Jonathan's groundbreaking book. We'll also include the booklet, Supernatural or Just Remarkable, that reveals how the Hebrew Scriptures clearly point to Yeshua, Jesus, as the promised Messiah. That's a critical connection, a foundation of faith we all need. Call today, scan the QR code, or mail a one-time gift of just $25 or more, and we'll send you both books. Even better, become a new Shalom partner with a gift of $40 per month or more, and we'll also include this beautiful lion and lamb figurine. Display this work of art in your home or office as a reminder that, as prophesied, Yeshua, Jesus, is both the Lion of Judah and the Lamb of God. As a new Shalom partner, you can be sure that 100% of your investment will directly activate life-saving relief efforts in Israel and around the world. Thank you so much for coming alongside Jewish Voice and our promise to stand with Israel.
We want to just take a few minutes, as we do in every program, to pray for your needs. And we get so many. I know that some of you are going through some real challenges. We get lots of letters, emails. I know that some are still struggling since COVID. 2019, 2020 changed everything. And some of you are going through a sense of even hopelessness, but certainly rejection, separation, discouragement. We understand that. And we know that God is a loving God who sees and cares even before you have need. Also, I want to ask those of you that have never made that step to invite Yeshua, Jesus, to come into your heart, to live for him, today's the day of your salvation. He's standing at the door. Yeshua, Jesus, is standing at the door of your heart, Scripture says, and he's knocking at your door to let him in. He'll transform your life. We want to give you that opportunity. Don't wait till tomorrow. Jack, there's so many people hurting, so many needs. I'm going to ask you to pray. Where two or three are gathered together in his name, he's in the midst of us.
Amen. I would be delighted to. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, Lord, the past several years have filled many,
yes,
not
Lord,
just with concern, but also with fear, particularly over the past 14 months. And Lord, in the Olivet Discourse, one of the things that you remind us of is we see the beginning of these birth pains.
Yes.
Is you tell us, but do not be alarmed, for these things must happen.
Yes.
And so, Lord, my prayer for each and every one is that we move in faith and not by fear,
yes,
that we are not alarmed, and that we put all of our faith, yes, and our strength,
Lord,
and confidence, Lord God,
In you,
knowing that
in
we
you
can trust and depend upon you for all things, and knowing that the end of the book,
yes, Lord,
has a wonderful,
yes,
wonderful,
Lord,
conclusion,
yes,
in
Lord,
Yeshua's name.
In Yeshua's name, and
hallelujah,
thank you, Lord, that it ends well, that even though the earth is being shaken, we are in you, and we are safe and confident. I want to invite you to go deeper and find meaningful ways to support and bless Israel and the global Jewish community by visiting our website, jewishvoice.tv. You'll discover resources to grow in your faith and opportunities to make a positive impact, to change lives, to transform lives. And remember, the greatest news you can give any Jewish person, or anyone for that matter, is the good news of the Messiah, of our Savior, Yeshua, Jesus.
Amen.
As we close the program today, I want to remind you to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Psalm 122:6. And it says, for those that pray for Jerusalem, may they prosper who love thee. So prosper by praying for Israel and the Jewish people. Until next time, this is Jonathan Burness along with Jack Zimmerman saying shalom and God bless you.